Everyone's asleep.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to yet another exciting broadcast from the Vinnie Eastwood Show, thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Bear in mind, this is a listener-supported broadcast, ladies and gentlemen, so if you want to go to the homepage and make a donation or sign up to a regular subscription, either through the PayPal or through the Kiwi Bank account. And bear in mind, those who have already subscribed, there was a PayPal account change about a couple of months ago, so if you want to, please check your account, see if it's going into the old Guerrilla Media 911 Gmail or the new Guerrilla Media 77 Gmail PayPal accounts. That would be really nice, because there's a lot of people who are still signed up who are donating into the old account, which I cannot touch. I can, on the other hand, refund donations through that, so please contact me through the homepage. Other than that, today, ladies and gentlemen, we have a very special guest. His name is Andrew Bartzis. Welcome to the program, Andrew.
Thank you, Vinny. How are you doing today?
Yeah, well, somewhat fabulous is my standard response, mate. I would like to know just a little bit about who you are and what it is you do.
For people that have never heard of me before, I'm called the Galactic Historian. I'm a regular person also, but my name is Andrew Bartzis. When I was 9 years old, I had an event happen where I was at a baseball stadium, and there was a bottom of the ninth inning. It was a tied score, and when our team hit a home run, the stadium went wild, just cheering and high frequency and high energy. And at that moment, there was a stream of information that came inside me, and it was everyone in the stadium, everyone within miles of the stadium, 80,000 plus people, their entire historical record of who they've been in the past, present, and future came into my little 9-year-old head. And there was this wave of wisdom and knowingness that came with that actual wave of information. And it was very hard to take in. And for about 2 weeks, I was very secluded. My parents asked what was going on, but they had a traditional Greek Orthodox upbringing, so they didn't understand what was going on to me. I'd already challenged them paranormally and psychically, even when I was a young child, 3 and 4 years old, reading material, absorbing books instantly and being able to answer things on it. And after that event, I had a situation where I had migraine headaches and the doctors couldn't identify what it was. And that was from the amount of information that I was filtering literally from wherever I would walk. Every person I ever passed in the street, every person that I've ever seen within a few hundred feet of me, I've downloaded their Akashic record. And I've traveled all over the world. And that's what it's like being in my life until I turned this skill to be professional. And that professional skill was reading people's past, present, and future lives until I came into an understanding of what this term galactic historian was that came into my mind at 9 years old. It was to look at our entire history of our species with the knowledge that our species has amnesia, and there are trigger points that have been abused throughout the centuries to lead us into false understandings of what is false history. And when I was in school, I remember being taught stuff that I had learned in the Akashic Record that were totally different perspectives. And I was frustrated as a kid until I began to understand we live in a world that is a facade. There is a programmed reality that is there, and that reality can be called a hologram. And each individual human being has a personal hologram that's called spiritual sovereignty, and that determines how much 100% free will you ascertain, have, and express. We live in a world that there's these spiritual agreements that people are in unawareness of that makes that 100% 6% or 5%, because over hundreds of lifetimes, they've had hundreds of citizenships to different governments that have given away their power to beings that have the ability to use science and spirituality mixed to alter timelines or dimensions based off of your signature from 400 years ago. And as I began to learn more and more about our history, about our culture, about our taboos, how just broken our sacred masculine and feminine was, and seeing a truer expression of all of those different things, I began to see who's controlling our world. Having the sight to literally look into any place, any time as an individual person, and not to be detected when I was doing that. That's what makes me so unique and so rare. I do this consciously. I'm not in a trance. I'm not someone else. I'm not channeling. I am me in the individual flow of the infinite record. And whether there's nobody listening to me or a live audience of 6 or 7 million, which I've done shows, it expands the potential. And that potential is everything that's in the infinite that I can translate into these 26 English letters.
Well, could you define that and elaborate on it, please?
Let's look at an example. It's called timeline genocide. This is something I began describing in the Galactic Historian shows I did back in June last year with Lance White, where I took the entire 54 million year history of our species and explained it from the beginning to the end so that people began to understand it is not a single timeline that we're living in, but we are in four separate simultaneously existing paradoxes. Quite literally, through this term timeline genocide, the original species that inhabited Earth was sharing their DNA with other planets, other galaxies, and other universes. DNA was the basis of experience in this universe. If we look at our modern science, we discover that DNA is 80% memory. Well, whose memories are those? Well, DNA is 80% memory. The other 20% is called lineage programs, things that makes a silversmith or a radio host or a book writer. And those are the particular talents a light body brings into an experience. These experiences have attachments, and those attachments become parts of these facade realities, where the facade realities will alter the individual's expression so that they're not truly following their free will, but they're following a path defined by others who have farsight thousands of years in the future, and they are carrot and sticking for you to plan your lives their way. And that's the facade reality we live in four separate paradoxes. I know this is hard for people to understand, but we created this timeline genocide. It came here to Earth, where literally the original species that was here was erased. There were no ancestors on the planet, no first species, no primordial soup. And that's from the species that had time travel technology to enter our social agreement of time. And this was the first time it had ever been done in any of the 17 other universes. And as soon as we were erased, all the DNA we had shared that was the foundation for DNA skin suit experiences that people used human DNA, all of those people lost their experience and their experience, so on, until it spread out. And the universal beings came together and had a creational event to put the experiences back together. But there were individual powerful beings here on Earth who knew that this uncreational event was purposely triggered, and they triggered a second one and a third one and a fourth one spread throughout our human history to keep us in an enslavement program, because they see our DNA as the DNA Walmart, where they can feed the DNA to the universe and determine the way the universe is going to be advanced in experiences. They are basically being the monopoly of the great experiences. Our DNA is vastly different than the rest of the species in the universe. As much as 70% of the species in this galaxy alone only experience three things on three experiential levels: their physical body, their sensual body, and their sexual body. And sometimes they have a fourth, which is an advanced psychic body separate of technology. We as human beings here on Earth have 63 layers of experience here. So every time I smoke a cigarette or eat a piece of chocolate, my body and spirit body experience it 63 different ways. That's how much information hounds we are on this world.
Hmm. Now, you're throwing out a lot of numbers here, like experiencing it in 63 different ways or 17 different universes. Could you actually explain what the names are of these 17 different universes to define what they are?
They don't actually have names as much as they are a frequency and a vibration of free will or non-free will or a mix thereof. Each is a macro or a micro experience. Here, we are the 17th universe in this creational spiral. And there are other creational spirals separate of us. And we are in an infinite creation little spiral above us and below us. And that is what general human awakening is about, is understanding the macro and micro spirals. You know, there are cells within inside us that have whole universes in them. So you see what I'm saying? They're just a range of frequency from the seven colors of experience. Red, orange, yellow, blue, green, indigo, violet. That's what this universe is, a seven-color experience. So beings come here for the seven colors. And here on Earth, we have nine experiential bodies. And that nine experiential bodies and the seven colors gives you the 63 layers of experience, where other beings just experienced infrared or just experienced blue or just experienced an ultraviolet expression. And those would be a fifth degree or fifth density being who no longer needs a physical body, but just a galactic roaming citizen or sentience.
Well, and do these do they have consciousness? Are they self-aware?
They are fully self-aware. Most of these beings ended their contracts with another planet because they're ancient. They already discovered the secrets to their own DNA, which is their DNA is the interface with any planetary consciousness. That's the fundamental rules of this universe. It's the seven-color expression. So when you understand a planet on its seven-color expression, your DNA matches that of the planetary resonance, and you can end your spiritual contracts with that and then become what's called a galactic roaming citizen. You have understood the fundamentals of nature separate of your culture. It doesn't matter. That means you can leave your planet and just be an energy body floating through space, or you can manifest literally a vessel where you go through a creational process, whether it's created of stone, of ice, of water, or of gas. It doesn't matter. It's your method of belief system that allows you to travel from a planet A to solar system B to galaxy C. Mm-hmm. It's just belief.
So there's no physical evidence of anything that you're saying, basically, and it's all sort of like up in the air.
I've been asked that question many, 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 many times. We are a species with amnesia, so how do you prove anything to a species with amnesia? The same thing if you look at the Super Soldier Project. There's not a single admission of it amongst the government, but that doesn't mean it isn't real. It's the social consciousness that accepts its own frequency of the puzzle of lies and truth and the truth and interwoven lies. And that's the hardest part about the galactic historians, because there are those who are going to say, where is the physical proof? Where is the physical proof? Our history has been rewritten by the victors and conquerors thousands of times. So what I've done is taken the times to expose those particular places where the most amount of influence is done, so that people can look for themselves at where the biggest taking of our human freedoms as a soul or as an individual were taken. You know, we look at the Roman Empire when it split between Byzantium and the main cities in Rome. Well, most people don't realize it was actually the main cities in Rome that were encouraging the Templars to go there, but you can go back in history and look at it. But the history books make it seem like everything was in Byzantium when it wasn't. That's where the post system started. That's where all of the dark rituals that spread out the system of domination control, which is what I identify as the cabal, Illuminati, pyramid, whatever you want to call it. And the biggest lie of all is there's not one eye at the top. There's thousands of eyes, and they're all black and blue from fighting each other for tens of thousands of years. Mm-hmm. In that tens of thousands of years, lots of truth has leaked through and lots of lies have leaked through. And for one to go through it, one must have a reference that is a neutral perspective. And that is what the Akashic Record is. It is the view of your experience in this life from the planet's perspective. And that's the stream of information I go through. So how does one prove that I'm in that stream? And that is through the voice and flow and through I am, through the information, whether it heals or doesn't heal, whether it exposes or doesn't expose. It does something to relay a newer layer of truth to the amnesiacs that we are.
Mm-hmm. I've talked to a number of people who've got these kind of views and opinions, abilities, etc. And one thing that really strikes me about them all is that they all seem to admit that there's no physical evidence for these things that they're doing. However, they often have these little stories of synchronicity and things of that nature, which for them are true confirmation of what they're seeing and what they're hearing.
Oh, absolutely. I live a life of synchronicities. And in fact, I look for them, and I've learned to become very adept in seeing people that have all sorts of synchronistic energies around them, and then meeting them at opportune times with the same amount of synchronistic energy and watch absolute magic appear. Well, that's our birthright as a species, is to watch this magic appear by people coming together in their own sovereign expression that amplifies the sovereign energy expressions of everyone else.
Care to share a couple of them experiences?
Mount Shasta last year, I was giving a speech in front of a fire, and the fire lit up really, really, really high right as I was saying a series of words. And an owl hooted in the background, and as I stood up, there was this big glow around everyone, and everyone noticed that right away. Mm-hmm. Other synchronicities, meeting people at the exact right moment in time before they do something very different in their life. Mm-hmm. Hearing distant gunshots when I'm making a decision not to do something and confirming that. All sorts of things that could defy oneself, going between two timelines, seeing the news media, CNN, which on one timeline, which is literally another timeline of perception, where CNN is the number one news media, and it's the ABC and NBC are the bottom ranked cable news medias, and to see the different perspective based off the two, and then watch literally how one translates from one timeline to another, because they're doing trial balloons in our dream worlds. I can view the dream worlds of human beings all over the world without violating their sovereignty, simply because I'm from the perspective of the Akashic record. And I'm not the only one that can do this. There are others out there. And in fact, it's the birthright of everyone to be able to perceive this information, because your DNA skin suit technology.
Could you define I'm sorry to interrupt. Could you define Akashic? If it's Akashic records, I mean, I know what records are. You know, you're playing, music comes out, but...
Okay, the Akashic record, think of the molten core of a planet, and that's the heart and soul of a planet. And as that molten core gets a crust around it and it begins to expand and accept more and more densities from other parts of the solar system, layers of crystal grow and bigger layers of crystal grow. And those are the foundations of the records of the planet, what the planet is experiencing at that moment. And that is the Akashic record. And then after the planet gets more and more older, it'll invite life to come and live on it, whether it's moths and bugs or sentient beings. The older Akashic records are at the surface and the younger ones are at the base. So there's a network of crystals spread throughout the igneous rock all over the planet. And that it creates an omnidirectional field or aura of a planet. When one looks at to the North Pole, you see the Aurora Borealis. That is an example of Earth's aura interacting with the solar system or the sun. Our dream world, when it interacts with the clouds or the weather layers, is the example of the energy of Earth interacting with the sentience. Our weather is directly related to us as a human species.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So the Akashic record is the planet's individual relation, because it is holding space for you, a being of photonic light energy who has come here to have a shared reality experience with the planet and anyone you have contracted here for experience.
Mm-hmm.
Example, your
wife.
How
are these contracts done?
These contracts are done in your astral world, where you look for people who are soul family members, people you've had experiences with in other lifetimes or on other planets or in other universes. And they'll be looking for a specific set of experiences. One may be, see, I'm here to be a teacher this time, so I'm going to be a third grade teacher. And to do that, I may need a high school teacher who really shows me what teaching is. Or if you're going to be a professional wrestler at a young age, you're going to be exposed to professional wrestling, and that's going to be your special talent, or a healer or a doctor. And those are your themes that you create. And then we as souls realize that our world is in domination and control, and we don't always get what we want. And there's a big roll of the dice when you come through the forgetting of the birth canal. And that's where a concept called ancestral karma makes most people's lives go awry, because debt of ancestral negative concepts have been passed on to future generations. And this is also reminiscent of the timeline genocide I spoke to you of before, where systems were brought to this planet to control the timeline pollution, such as ancestral karma, passing debt onto others. That's why our passports, our IDs, and our bonds are created on our soul. It's so they on our human body, calling us commerce, so they can do the DNA trade with us off world, and our belief system understands it. So it all comes back to the belief system of the individual. So an individual soul comes in with a light body belief system. That light body belief system creates a series of contracts with the planet, which is it will hold space and make sure there's a synchronistic link to other soul family members. And then there's the other system, which is the system of domination and control that created a false grid of Masonic brick and mortar buildings and cities and roadways to make there appear to be a second system of energy ley lines on Earth to confuse human beings. And so those that live in the cities over many hundreds of generations have now attached themselves to the experience of the city, which is haunted by beings who can't pass over and recreate their experiences, but are stuck in what's called a reincarnation grid or an ancestral debt reincarnation grid, where they end up being sex slaves, they end up being government personalities, they end up being the worst scumbaggery or douchebaggery people, personalities of our society. And our society is built as a machine, like the Vatican is a machine of entropy and destruction of minds, so that they can create a mass volume of negative people to oversee the Vatican sex industry, which it does, and it oversees their drug industry. The same thing in the CIA. You need bad people to run those things, and those bad people are easily controlled by some of the most simple neurolinguistic programming, or are working basically off of their initial debt programming.
Mm. Go on.
Okay. Well, what area would you like me to go on to? I mean, you're at a point where I can go specifics into concepts. What would you like to know?
Well, I've still haven't heard what the 17 different universes are, or the 63 levels of experience. You know, if you're going to come up with a number, I'd like to explain what each and every
one
of those.
Well, again, I
know that they don't have names, but of course they must have frequencies. Characteristics. Okay.
Free will or non-free will. All right, here's an example. There is another universe, and we'll look at letters of music. It would be the A note frequency. And that A note frequency determines the amount of colors that it has in it. So it's a six color.
When you say it would be, are you guessing or do you know?
No. I'm saying for this example, I'm trying to actually use an example from an actual universe, and I'm collating all the data for your query right here and putting it together.
We'll continue. Yeah.
Okay, so that experience of that universe is divided into free-willed and non-free-willed. So there's partitions of the universe that are non-free-willed and not partitions of it are free-willed. And then there are different galaxies that are part free-will and non-free-will, or a complete free-for-all. You can be non-free-willed and free-willed in the same place and never interact with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a way of mass experiential creation where everything can cross over and not affect everything else. Our experience over here is 100% free will universe on 100% free will planets, and everything can cross over, and not even the universal beings have free will to stop the free will of another being if they stand in their sovereign power. So this is what's called a sovereign power universe. It's the next stage of expression before the 18th universe is created. Each universe is a different level of expression so that a soul can age and grow in density and power until it is ready to say, I'm ready to become my own galaxy, my own universe, my own planet, my own next expression, because I've lived trillions of experiences over billions of spans of light years. So the 17 universes, as you're trying to find, is the incarnational of a process from the micro being to the macro being. It is literally all of the experiences. Whether you stay in this
spiral or any other spiral. There isn't actually 17 universes. There's only one universe with 17 different frequencies and colors, etc., holding it together.
No, there's actually 17 separate universes, and you have to immigrate from one to another to another. Think of a spiral. And then there is
Are these parallel universes that basically are exactly the same in every single way, apart from a few little differences, like on that movie The One? Or are they completely different universes altogether with different characteristics?
Completely different. completely different. The first universe begot the second universe, which begot the third and begot the fourth. So the first universe was another double helix strain universe, created a brand new space for a new universal experience. And that universal experience got old enough, it created a space so a second universe can be created, and so on and so forth, until you got to the 17th expression of something that was separate, completely separate of the original spawn. So think of it like a lineage of families.
So let's say, for example, Universe A is Big Bill Rockefeller from early 1800s, and Universe B is David Rockefeller from the year 1960 or something like that. It's kind of like a family strain all the way down the line, and everybody's got like a different incarnation.
On a universal level, no. On the individual time streams here, yes, that would be an accurate description, because we in the universe we're in, we created this unique paradox that affected all 17 universes. So to find an understanding and a way to solve that, the 17 universes agreed to mass immigration between each other, open immigration between the two of them, so that all of the karmic debt that was created from timeline genocide could be resolved. Well, it was a massive traffic nightmare, and this is what the last 54 million years has been about, solving the traffic nightmare with these beings of domination and control, using and abusing it along the way, literally abusing universal laws, time laws, everything.
Well, I think that's kind of what the U.S. government is really specializing in now in its secret projects, don't you think?
Well, I've actually said this many times on air, that the U.S. Space Fleet, which is 2,603 separate vessels, they're actually a pirate raiding force, technological raiding force. And the vast majority of the people on those vessels are programmed patriots thinking they are actually defending Earth, when in fact they are actually pirates. And they have been pirates for a very long time, because those vessels are equivalent with dimensional and social drive time systems. So they can enter the social consciousness of other planetary systems in a time perspective and actually alter very things very slightly in other worlds, and then begin to predict how that world is altered, so that they could ultimately steal a creational technology from them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what SEAL Team 26 does. And SEAL Team 9 is the earthbound MIB force, which is, you know, making sure that nothing's going to be here. And then you got, you know, STS-77, which, you know, no one else is going to know about, because that's what's in the overall time command control, which is under the island of Diego Garcia. 28 million people live in that underwater facility there.
Well, there's a lot of underground facilities. In fact, there's thousands of them apparently, and they're connected by undersea and underland tunnels and things of that nature. I've seen the pictures of their giant drill machines that can get several miles a day and just basically vaporize the dirt in front of them, and they have no waste coming out the other back. It's really really messed up.
The giant tracks that are on the ocean, and you can see these things. They're geometric track shapes. So there's all sorts of stuff underground, underwater. But the base at Diego Garcia, that's what actually is interconnected into our grid system, our planetary etheric energy grid system.
By chance, is it on ley lines?
Oh, absolutely on a ley line. A very, very special ley line at that. Okay. If you just, if anybody
out
there.
I think it was an Eric Clapton song. Ley lines. Got me on my knees.
Lola. Got me on my, exactly.
I'm begging, darling, please lay lines. I'm sorry, keep going.
So Diego Garcia is where Earth Space Command can effectually alter the social time agreement of other planets in this galaxy and any other galaxy. And there are multiple programs that exist inside there that interfunction with CERN, the Large Hadron Collider in France. And that is the actual portal creation system, so that they can create these micro portals to transit DNA bodysuits off planet, because they're getting a vast value of technological information back. They're literally trading DNA, because there are species out there in the universe that have eliminated their sex organs, quite literally, so they have no tree of life. And they need our DNA implanted back into them so that they can start to have children again. Mm-hmm. Okay, so there is a tremendous need for DNA here, which creates zealots off-world that will trade with the system here. You've probably heard people talk about a quarantine field around this planet. This quarantine field has been here for millions of years because of this DNA trade. There have been people who have been taken off this world, and they were bacteriologically infected that killed trillions of beings. And this has happened more than once. And that's why we have a quarantine field around us.
Well, let's leave it right there just for the moment, and we'll go to break. We'll leave a little quarantine field on that, much like you would if Monsanto was growing crops next door. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, ladies and gentlemen, and we will be right back after the break with my very special guest, Andrew Bartels. And I'm on my way to believe it. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's a listener-supported broadcast, so please go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com and donate or subscribe today. We're having a wee bit of a problem with the home finances here, so we need another couple of $100 to pay the rent this week. Any assistance would be greatly appreciated. Also, check out our very loving, caring, and various other nice adjectives sponsors, our book sponsors on the homepage, The Crowdfunding Revolution by Kevin Lawton, The Range of Illusion by B. Holmes, and also check out our other regular sponsors as well, The High Tea Cafe, The Gourmet Soap Kitchen in Wagga Wagga, and of course, Blue Shield. I got a little Blue Shield thingy plugged in, and one time my mate didn't believe it. That it worked, and he said, unplug it for a week, Vinny, see what happens. The worst week of my life, bro. Headaches, bad energy, like virtual migraines kind of thing. I was really angry, and I was like, whoa, these Blue Shields, they make a freaking difference, bro, because I plugged it back in, and it went away in 30 minutes. My total personality changed, and I felt healthy again. It was really messed up. So go to the homepage and click on that little Blue Shield banner there and get yourself one of those if you can afford it. My very special guest is Andrew Bartels. Now, Andrew, do you have a website by chance?
Yes, you can go to galactichistorian.com. You can also check me out on Facebook and YouTube, Galactic Historian. Got a whole bunch of videos that are up there. And you can also sign up for all the different stuff that I do. I do quite a bit of shows too.
Okay, well, let's have a look then, because we were talking about, number one, we got these, universes, the 17 different universes, 63 different ways of doing experience. We've got all these Akashic records, like the actual tied-in records of planetary bodies, and we've got interdimensional beings that are capable of transforming and moving through these different universes and these different experiences and la 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 la. I would imagine the average person hearing this for the first time would be really, really confused and just switch off right away.
Sometimes that happens, but there are other times that there are people that are looking for that. And that's what I've discovered in radio show after radio show after radio show, that however the information comes out, that they are deciphering part of it, they're understanding something from it. And I've done so much material that a lot of times when people ask me a general question, the material has been said before, but at the same time, you have to explain it to people. It's like you as a host, can you remember a show you did a year ago? Specific show, which, you know, lined out Agenda 21 or did a complete exposé on that. So I'm in a situation where there's so much material out, The best way to begin to understand is to go to the Galactic History shows. There's 20 half-hour episodes, or you can just check out my YouTube page and look for the Galactic History specials, where you get to understand what it is exactly that I do. For people that come to me for sessions, and I have quite a few that what the understanding is who they are in the now and what's affecting them. And many, many, many people in the entertainment industry or in the energy industry learn right away there are other versions of themselves who are quite angry, who would very much like to take over your life. And they can do it. And we see classic examples of this in the entertainment industry all the time, as people look like they've been possessed, because they've been possessed by another version of themselves who wanted to be here now in the time of the Great Awakening. And they learned that they're not in the right place. So they're leapfrogging through dimensional times and trying to take you over. We live in this world, a world of shame, blame, and guilt, in the soup that was purposely created in our culture so that people would tend towards the negative and become callous towards the violence and aggression that's in this world.
Well, can I ask as well, emotionally speaking, has this actually had much of a strain on you? Because I see a lot of psychic healers also very much struggle with their gifts and their insight, because, namely, there ain't too many other people to guide you down a path that's unique.
Oh, exactly. For a really long time, it was difficult because of my age. I grew up in a Greek family, and I started working when I was 6 years old. You know, I worked in a restaurant, a traditional Greek concept. I had a different life, a very different life. So I had coping skills early on that a lot of people wouldn't get. And as I got older, yes, things got very tough, especially when I began looking at some of the darker areas of our world and began entangling with it at the quantum level, trying to understand why it had happened that way. Then I got some very positive friendships and mentors in my life, and I was able to stay protected for a very long time. And there are times that you're not protected simply by the nature of what it is that you're doing. You know exactly what I'm talking about when you're going out a limb and you're bringing something out for the first time, and you know that it's really going to have a deep impact. Okay? So there are those times where it gets very difficult, and the body does show the suffering. But I've also learned how to survive in time. I can perceive time. I can perceive attacks coming through time and at times alter them or step one dimension sideways, and it just hits a shadow reality. And for those out there that are skilled in that energy, they'll know what I'm saying. The same thing like remote viewers. Like, there isn't a show that I don't do that isn't remote viewed by thousands of people in the present. And it's not because they're looking for the information that I'm in. They're looking for specific individual frequencies there, because they're looking for other versions of themselves. And this is where some of the material I've talked about is timeline viewers who are looking for other versions of yourself for both good reasons and bad reasons. We are broadcasting on an unprotected social network. And our networks are created this way. So we all begin to share the dirty energy underwear, whether we like it or not. And that's where sovereign beings stand up and say, no, I can say my truth and don't need to share my energy, but I can share my truth. And my truth is more powerful than my energy.
On top of this, there's a lot of confusion among the super soldier things. And we were talking off air before about super soldiers and how it's kind of like testimony comes in from 1,000 different sources, and there's one source that lines up with all the other 1,000, and each of them do in their own way. Mm-hmm. So what my theory was is that the mind control techniques and things of that nature for which they're trying to conceal galactic history, yada, 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 you know, I'll just take you at your word, if you don't mind. what they do is they split the mind into about 1,000 different parts, so that even if they tell people what they see, they might be telling them 999 incorrect things out of one that's correct, because they've been deliberately confused in order to hide the truth.
Exactly. Exactly. And I've worked on many super soldiers privately, and there was a radio show, Douglas Dietrich. You know Douglas?
Oh, yeah. Totally.
I was on his. He invited me to be on his show, and when I called, I was actually late for the show. When I called in, there was another caller on the show, who was a person that was relating to Douglas's story, and he asked me what I thought, and I was in that high frequency mode. I'd already done like 6 hours of live radio interviews that day, and I told Douglas I'd just pop on a show as soon as I finished going to the bathroom, and I began reading this person. I instantly understood he was a psychic soldier. A super soldier and a very powerful psychic at that too, that it was broken into 300 separate personalities. I identified the demons that was in him, talked about his prisoner of war thing, which he was. He has a silver star prisoner of war. He's a 53-year-old person in a 23-year-old man's body. He was actually taken out of his body 2 days before he signed up to the military. His 53-year-old mind was put back in completely blanked, but he still had all of his skill sets. And went through his different time-traveling personalities, which is where they created 300 separate personalities and cloned him so that those clones can stay on other timelines that were going to be destroyed permanently. So it would create what's called a random soul shard from this person, which they could grab with their photonic energy systems and literally capture a piece of their soul shard and then implant it into another fetus in this common timeline that we're all sharing and create another version of this young man who went through the exact same process of becoming a super soldier. It was a way of duplicating the process. You didn't have to beat train each and every one like they were doing in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s.
Well, how exactly can we confirm, though? And that's the other thing. Like when I was interviewing Andrew Bishago and Bernard Mendez, who are in the Project Pegasus program, one thing that they told me is that they found about nearly 9 or 10 other people from the Jump Room programs just after Andy went public, kind of thing. These people started turning up and just going, yeah, I was part of it too. And what they did is they had these long calls, conferences, just kind of like off air, totally private and what have you. And what they were doing is comparing notes. And it's like what I was saying before about, you know, you get, if you tell 10 people 1,000 different stories, they'll all talk together and they'll find out that there's one story that they all remember in exactly the same exclusive detail. And they were telling me about this time when they went to Mars, they think, and they got attacked by some kind of a dinosaur creature or whatever. And it was only upon collating their information that they were starting to accept the possibility that what they had seen wasn't Mars at all, and it was just a simulation.
I've actually talked about Bernie a couple of times. He's been on my show, and I interviewed him a number of times also. And I've had many conversations with all of them privately. And what it comes down to is that was a different reality experiment. That's what Project Pegasus was to show the human power of the DNA that you can invade another reality without actually being in that other reality. And if you're going to be a force of change in a future consciousness that understands reality programming warfare, what better way than introduce 30, 40, or 50 people with very similar stories who can come onto a controlled media network and just watch it spread between the people? One voice isn't enough to get that out, and you know that. It would take dozens of voices to reach to the people that are truthers who don't even know they're truthers yet. So what you can see is a strategical move placed through time, whether they're pawns, knights, bishops, kings, or queens, makes no difference. They're simply a move in this poker game of time. Bluff, no bluff. Are you holding the ace in your sleeve? What, it doesn't matter if you're cheating or not, because at the end, everyone shows their cards. And what is showing their cards is where belief, though the overwhelming power of belief of this world, determines how our reality shifts or doesn't shift. And that's the struggle we have every single day. And when you look at the super soldier spectrum, their struggle is that the edge, the very leading edge, you think of a wing with wind going over it, they're at the leading edge of that perception, that expression that there is truth. And in truth is this word, all-encompassing word, disclosure. What does disclosure truly mean? It means something different to everyone. But there's something to disclosure. It all leads up to what? Whether it's the Vatican bank scandals or JP Morgan or Space Command, it all leads to passports. It all leads to domination and control. It all leads to the Illuminati, which all leads to an off-world DNA trade, which has been the common ancient history we've had in this victorious history we learned.
Now, history is a real funny one because it seems to change the longer it goes on. Have you ever noticed that?
Oh, yeah, it does. In fact, our history has been changed because one generation perceives the history one way and the next generation perceives it another way. And that third generation, which is basing its stuff off of books that were based off of propaganda, has a totally different way. And if you're someone that can see time, you would make sure that you had a lifetime so that you could make sure those books were altered properly before there was a press. And then after there was a press, how books change, how one word, literally one word, can change the overall meaning of a phrase that affects millions of people who are going to read it. That's why alternate timelines were needed so that they could adjust things like the Bible or the Torah or any of those other expressions to make sure the final propaganda line, timeline, which is the layer of propaganda is coming out, keeps the belief systems empowered into a suppressed slave society.
Well, how exactly does our so-called suppressed slave society become unrepressed and be free?
Oh, that's a really good question. It comes down to the fact that we have two choices. The civil and cultural world that's been handing us unnatural births, vaccinations, GMO food, or the natural world. How you interact with that natural will be your choice, whether it's going to a drumming ceremony to clear dense energies once a month or living totally free or off the grid but still using your credit cards or whatever your choice is. But it's to begin the separation of the world that offers you vaccinations, GMO, it offers you cancer, it offers you all of those things that are sicknesses that come from living within inside that stressed structure, where you begin to say, I do not have to live in lack. I can manifest money with my creativity. You go back into your heart space and begin to relearn love has no strings attached to it. Back to the original foundational rules that all of our ancestors lived in before the creation of mind control, before the creation of the Templars or any of those other ways of living. Each individual person has a sovereign way of living, and our society will have to adjust and allow new expressions of life. How that comes apart, that's the awakening. That's the wonders of it, whether it's you with a megaphone or me on the radio or someone else like Alfred Lamont Weber or Dr. Dream and Laura Eisenhower or any of those others that are out there telling their truth. They're doing it from the joy of their heart, not because it's making money.
Well, there's the other element. I mean, if I take myself as an example here, if I may be so precocious, I was just thinking about how I'm getting donations from the listeners and I'm surviving more or less via doing the right thing, or at least what I feel is doing the right thing. And every time when I run out of money, I ask for some, whether directly from the listeners or just hope for some, and it always turns up.
Conscious manifestation.
Now, is that my consciousness manifesting it? Because I've always interpreted it as I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing on a cosmic level, and there's something that wants me to do what I'm doing and wants me to continue. And it's only when I doubt my cause, it's only when I doubt my abilities that the support stops coming. It's almost like when a salesman's trying to sell you a product and he doesn't really believe in it, he's mm-hmm. not passionate about it, he doesn't really care, and you don't give him your money.
Exactly. Well, how about I rephrase this? It's a social consciousness manifestation. You are being a service to the social consciousness with your radio shows, with your archives, with the comedy that you've done, with the exact, excruciating pain of truth that you brought out that has made other people squirm, whether it's Bilderbergers or any of those other, they squirm at us. But they really ultimately aren't going to act or react to us, because if they do, they make it worse. So the best thing they can do is create trolls or create an industry that produces false information so that we're a needle in a haystack of all this other truthers. And that's the name of the game now. So as long as you remain in service to the social consciousness, that manifestation of money or that manifestation of energy, that manifestation of love will find its way to you, because those people who do listen to you understand your signature frequency and the nature of your soul mission.
Well, here's another element as well. It's kind of like, I don't know the end game, like where am I going to be at the end of this process? And I think that's part of the fun. If you're if you're talking about like, because this is something I was really concerned about people predicting the future and what have you, because I recall when people were predicting 2012 was going to be the end of the world and so on and so forth. Every single time anybody's ever predicted anything in the future, apart from financial predictions because they know the elite and the economy is controlled, they always fall flat on their frickin' ass, or it doesn't happen the way they think it's going to happen.
Or a random earthquake that's been predicted.
See, sometimes that does happen.
A random one comes out of nowhere. They predict it. Okay.
Because of HAARP activity and oil reserves that have been found.
Exactly. They can predict how the ground's going to fracture.
See, those are different because those are technological aspects. I'm talking about kind of like sociological ripple effects, unpredictable effects, that kind of thing.
Like the fruit vendor in Tunisia who changed a whole timeline that came out of nowhere.
Yeah, I haven't heard that story.
He changed the world. He did.
Well, who is this fruit vendor?
That's the guy in Tunisia who set himself on fire a few years ago that set off the entire Arab storm.
You mean the one
Egypt,
where...
everything was based off of that one fruit vendor who set himself on fire because they raised the taxes and forced him to have a vending license. And it was all about food riots. The same thing in Egypt was about food riots. The price of olive oil had tripled.
Okay.
That's the whole reason Egypt, everything in the Europe, in the Middle East exploded. Not according to their will.
But of course, he wasn't really around to see it because he was burned to a crisp.
He burned himself to a crisp and died, yes. But he changed it because he got a billion hits that got erased. Well, people watching him immolate himself.
Well, I was thinking about this earlier. I was watching an episode of The Walking Dead the other day, and what these people were doing, these two groups of people who were at war, were talking about how many of their group that they would be willing to sacrifice in order to save the rest of their group. Mm-hmm. And one group says, I'll sacrifice all of them, and the other group says, I'll sacrifice none of them, because that's not my role. I can't do that. And I had a similar thought. I think last year or so, that there's only one form of sacrifice that is really, really more powerful than all others. It's not sacrificing other people's for your cause, it's sacrificing yourself for the cause of others.
And not becoming the martyr at it.
Hopefully,
that's the trickiness of doing it. Yeah, exactly. Not becoming the martyr, not becoming demigodded, not becoming worshipped for good end, but others do it because they know why you did it.
But... where's the oh, can I just say there's a whole bunch of like little timeline fields. I mean, it's like, I don't know, you're looking at a racetrack and you've got all these different lanes in the racetrack, but you don't have to actually stay in that lane, right?
Nope.
And you don't even have a regulated speed. I mean, it's basically like you can totally, if you wanted to, destroy everybody else on the track just by crashing your car into them, sort of thing. And I feel that's the way a lot of people are behaving now. They feel that the only way to win the race is to disable all of their competing cars on it.
Cheat.
Yeah.
To cheat.
Well, yeah. It's the only way to win a rigged game, isn't it?
Absolutely. So are you and I cheating by having our own radio stations? Yes, we are.
Are we?
I think we're cheating. We're cheating at such a sovereign level that they can't stop us because they gave us the tools.
I'd say it's just that we're just playing. We're playing within the rules, but not playing a regular tactic, right? Because
they're playing golf, and we're playing full contact rugby.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I used to be a salesman, so you know, convincing people to buy stuff off me so that I could make money was kind of like what I did for a living. And now I don't need to convince anybody of anything. I'm just providing information. It's up to them. They can make up their own damn mind, and they can also choose whether or not to donate to me. And they always do, right? So it's almost like because I took the manipulation out of the factor and replaced it with honesty and integrity and just basically a willingness to interview anybody about anything, I think people have seen a very, very genuine format of show that really hasn't existed before because it has so much of a, shall we say, a vast subject matter.
And the same with mine. You know, the particular skill set that I have, I mean, I did my own radio show 4 days a week, which was a live reading show. And then I did the Galactic Historian material, which was another 2 days a week. And then I did an interview show with other psychics, which was 1 day a week. So I was doing 8 shows a week for a little more than a year and put out 1,500 hours of archives. I put out a lot of material just like you. And with that, I was able to work with New Earth Nation and begin interviewing the highest end people that, whether it's, you know, Konstantin Karov, a scientist, you know, Tellinger, any of the big guys, which I'd already interviewed from before, but to put it together in a social consciousness format that people can begin putting together the puzzle pieces of all these presenters. So, and that's what you do, is helping people put together the big puzzle. As you put it together, your audience put it together. Some may put it together a few weeks ahead of you or a few weeks after. It doesn't matter. The social consciousness of your individual show is that. It's sharing the truth and allowing the truth to be determined by each individual's and not forcing it down anyone's throat. But they can eat it and digest it at their will or turn it away. The thing is, don't be a snob about it. Simply say, that's not for me right now. That isn't my signature frequency. There may be something for me to learn, but not right now. Like Agenda 21 is such a hard subject for people to stomach, but they forced it down our throats for 2 years. Okay?
That's true. Oh, we're going hardcore with Agenda 21. We actually have one of our second largest cities, I think, Hamilton, indeed, has an Agenda 21 office in their building.
So exactly.
It's getting really hardcore. It's getting everywhere. And the Green Party policy here in New Zealand, its environment policy, actually mentions, yes, it's full-on Agenda 21 implementation. They even come out and say it now.
One of the reasons I've been working with New Earth Nation is Greg Paul and Sasha Stone with the Law and Sovereignty Division there. You know, they're going to be coming out with an incredible volume of information where people can go through their actual sovereignty process and begin to truly learn what your corporate bonds are doing, what your passport and your ID is doing, and how to begin to disentangle from the system and say, no, you cannot do it anymore. Whether you do it on a spiritual level or a physical level, each individual being will disconnect from that system separately in their own experience. I mean, there'll be a common theme, but there'll be no cookie cutter theme. You know, some people have so much spiritual debt, you know, this lifetime, and there are others that have no spiritual debt this lifetime. It'll all be about dealing with the way the laws have intertangled with them this lifetime, whether it's a parking ticket, a murder violation, drug dealing, or tax evasion, you know, which isn't really a jailable offense, but it is. Learning of our history, how it was truly hijacked, what our original history was. So many people don't realize, and, you know, in 1776, you know, we won the revolution here. And when was the first president done? 12 years later. Did you know we had 9 presidents before Washington here in the United States?
No, I didn't.
Yep. And that's where our country was sold out via debt.
Well, who were these 9 guys?
Well, all the guys in the Constitution. The guy that sold it the biggest was Alexander Hamilton. He was the first president.
What was his history? Who was he?
Alexander Hamilton was a Mason. Full up, straight up Mason here
to
take over this place.
All the founding fathers were. That's not very
all of them were. They were here to hijack the Masonic Order from the European Masonic Order because it had begun infighting so much that they wanted to take the most powerful families and make sure
that
they
were fighting
not
against the church and they wanted a Masonic religion country rather than get away from the
it was power. About the DNA here in America. It was about having free access to the DNA here and to be able to trade it off world for valuable technology, for timeline sight, for direct intervention, separate of the European system. It was a straight up power grab. And Lincoln was the first American president that was the head of the Illuminati worldwide. And his assassination is actually what made the Illuminati tens of thousands of eyes instead of maybe 30 or 40 eyes at that point in history.
Could you elaborate on that? Because I'm still a little bit confused.
All right, let's say you have.
Well, let's do that in another segment. We'll just go to break right now, ladies and gentlemen. Hold on, you're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show at the vinnieeastwoodshow.com. There's Vinnie with a Y because it's the most important question. Eastwood hasn't go ahead. Make my news. We'll be right back.
Gave up their safety, their comfort, and sometimes their lives to build our new West. They were determined to make the new world strong and free, an example to the world. Some would say that those struggles are all over, that all the horizons have been explored, that all the battles have been won, that there is no longer an American frontier. And we stand today on the edge of a new frontier, the frontier of unknown opportunities and peril. Beyond that frontier are uncharted areas of science and space, unsolved problems of peace and war, unconquered province of ignorance and prejudice. I'm asking each of you to be pioneers towards that new frontier. My call is to the young in heart, regardless of age. Can we carry through in an age where we will witness not only new breakthroughs in weapons of destruction, but also a race for mastery of the sky and the rain, the ocean and the tides, the far side of space, and the inside of men's minds? All mankind waits upon our decision. A whole world looks to see what we shall do. And we cannot fail that trust, and we cannot fail to try.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen, with my very special guest, Andrew Bartzos. And we were just talking about the real reason Andrew believes why the United States was set up. Could you continue, please?
Well, if you look into our history, American history, 1864, the Tax Act was passed. 13 states in the South didn't ratify that. President Lincoln, who before the Civil War, as I said, was the central, the de facto head of the Illuminati at that point. It was all about the corporations taking the power away from the trusts, which were the kingships and dictators of Europe. Those kingships and dictatorships were such nepotistic personalities that no other Masons could ever rise to any type of authority. So it was literally a coup d'etat within the Masonic orders to transfer the power and steal as much as possible from those existing families who had given much of their daily operations to mid-level Masonic managers who were the ones that came here to the United States with all the stolen fortunes. That's the truth. And that's in history. That's in the banking records.
Well, and that's how much exactly are we talking about here?
Trillions. Equivalent of dollars. Trillions. It's like as much as 40% of Europeans of Britain's gross product of gold. Secret documents, technology, it all came here.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So is that why the United States was able to grow its economy so so fast over the next couple of hundred years?
Because it had literally pulled the exact coup d'etat on the power brokers of Europe.
And as a result, they became the new power base.
They
it's just
the
like
new de facto
shift
power
it
base.
From this direction to that direction. And I'm sure the British weren't very happy about that, which is why they tried to keep them under lock and key with taxation.
Or of 1812, correct.
Well, when they burned down the White House.
Which, did you know that when that actually happened, that a hurricane spawned multiple tornadoes and ate the entire British encampment? An actual hurricane came up the entire Potomac coast.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, that's in history, too. They don't tell you about that. What was that? That's the social consciousness of the population of America fighting back. Do you know that less than 2% of the population defeated the entire British Army? 2% became part of the revolution.
Yeah, it was between 2 and 3% or something like that. Of that nature. Yeah. And that was actually fighting, like people who are actively
fighting.
Involved.
Yeah. Yep.
And of course, there was a large underswelling movement underneath that, the pamphleteers and just general farms people from all around the country and what have you would just give food to the
clothing, socks,
whatever. Yeah, that kind of thing. It was like the community had rallied around the very, very small percentage of them that were willing to die to protect them all, and the rest of them were willing to at least take great risk at supporting them. And it's out of that kind of struggle and that camaraderie that, you know, this so-called greatest nation in the world was brought into fruition. But I fear that sense of community has been greatly lost on the people of the United States.
The preamble of the United States, the Declaration of Independence, all of that stuff, it's under a spendthrift trust. And for those people that understand a spendthrift trust, that means they created a trust. The few created the trust for the all, which included the future inhabitants of a place, which created the first corporation, which is the trust. So we are all operating under a spendthrift trust, and every document that's been created since then is part of that corporation. That's how long the corporation started. It just took another 200 years for it to filter through the laws so the social consciousness would begin to accept it, that the government is corporate. It was never government to begin with.
Yeah. Let's just keep feeding them BS very, very slowly and slowly and slowly until eventually it's their entire diet and they can't live without it.
Exactly.
That's what's happening to the entire world right now, isn't it? Everything's turning upside down.
Everything's under a spendthrift trust. That means all the rules can be turned upside down and inside out whenever they want. And that's ultimately what Agenda 21 is. It gives them the power to turn it upside down and inside out whenever they want, however they want, with no oversight.
Well, there's no accountability, really, is there?
Well, there never was meant to be, because there's an understanding that our world that is in this unified shared reality right now is breaking down into thousands of local individual realities. And in fact, right now, since the last superstorm in the Philippines, the big typhoon that went through there, we're in actually 1,500 separate realities around our world. And that's ultimately what happened to Malaysian Flight 370. It got stuck between two local realities that were crossing over each other, and it became very porous, and it fell outside of our social time. And the people that are quarantining fielding this world were able to put it in a mobile paradox, think of it like Groundhog Day, until they're able to insert them back into time, because nothing can be taken out of our time at this point in our history. We are set on a fuse of expression. And somehow, some way, when the fuse ends, it's either going to be fireworks or it's going to be, you know, hand grenades and nukes. Hopefully it doesn't end up that way. And it's not the first plane. You know, the whole reason they're making a stink about 370, it has nothing to do with any of those other stuff, is because it's the 41st vessel that has gone missing in 9 months. There's over 4,000 people that have gone missing. There was an oil tanker that's gone missing. There's been a French war vessel that's gone missing. Two separate Israeli nuclear submarines. I mean, a lot of stuff has gone missing in the 9 months.
Well, and that's where have they gone to? Are we talking about what's it called? Bermuda Triangle type phenomenon?
Oh, they go through a vortex and they're no longer in this social consciousness agreement of time. They're somewhere in between it, or literally in another social agreement of time. Some literally have vanished out of this world, and then there are the interdimensional or extra-dimensional beings who are overseeing the energies of our world, who have been able to put them in a bubble that kind of in phase with this time and out of phase. They're experiencing like the movie Groundhog Day.
Or what's it called, the new Tom Cruise movie that's come out? We were just talking about that before the show earlier, Days of Tomorrow?
Days of Tomorrow, yeah. I haven't seen that one yet.
Yeah. Well, I think that basically all it is just a sci-fi rework of Groundhog Day.
You know. It is.
I mean, look,
great
look,
concept, like, though. It's look, teaching people just like Inception did.
Mm. Well, look, ladies and gentlemen, there is no creativity left in Hollywood, okay? And if you think so, just shut up, for frack's sake, you know? I mean, it's just the same stuff recycled over and over again. However, you can look at, say, a song made by an artist, and you can totally tell that he's influenced by artist A, artist B, and artist C. And yet, he combines these three different styles and makes something completely unique, right? That's the best form of creativity that the entertainment industry can come up with now. They can't come up with anything original, but they can mix several other things together and make it appear so. Now, is that sort of like a construct for reality? Exactly how it's happening with these psychopathic scumbags? They can't create anything, but they can steal everybody else's ideas and make you believe that it was theirs.
Exactly. Or steal those ideas and make them far less in potential. So people are constantly having the wool pulled model out from under their feet, whether it's free energy or the new psychic therapy or whatever the new shiny bauble that's being sold in the industry. It's all about pulling the feet out from under people so that their belief system is challenged, so they fall into depression, obsession, and regression. They don't want people active and in their own energy fields and in their power. Otherwise, there'd be 1,000 you and me's out there. Yeah. And God forbid, we need that.
There are 1,000 of us out there, I'm sure.
They're out there, but they're not doing what you and I do. They're not awakened at the front. Yet.
It's like, what was I saying the other day? Oh, yeah. If you haven't, suffered in your life, worse abuse or whatever than you've ever been through before, you haven't really learned much, right? I think it's much like muscle building or bodybuilders, so to speak. The more pain you cause yourself, the more gain you get. But also at the same time, you can frickin' injure yourself in the process of growth.
Absolutely. And, you know, being an experienced intuitive, I've seen that in my own self, where I've caused great psychic harm to myself for defending another, especially those that who have horrible nightmares.
Yeah.
Or intense migraine headaches, and you step into that energy field and you begin, you know, the defense of that field and discover what's happening to that story and then begin to relate it to the individual person so they can stop that signature frequency of attack from ever being in their field. Because at some layer, they've given away permission for this being to be a part of you, whether it's because there's a Masonic building 10 miles away from you or some lifetime 1,000 years ago, you were part of the Masonic order and you weren't a good guy. And you gave away a lot of your sovereign power. And every lifetime since then, you haven't gotten it all back. And now it's rearing its ugly head as karma or as destiny or as fate or as that psycho girlfriend or a boyfriend that's going to ruin your life, but you just can't get rid of them because you love them with this crazy love.
Well, I was thinking about this the other day, is that I'm trying to do what I feel is right, as I just mentioned before. But the problem is when you are trying to help people, and I think this is kind of what you really triggered here for me, because I've been having these conversations with people who've had problems with child, youth, and family services, you know, our equivalent of CPS, and they're telling me about how their children have been raped and giving me graphic details and all of this other sort of stuff. And I get maybe 10 messages like this a month from people just in New Zealand talking about how their kids have been kidnapped by the state and they're being sexually abused and how traumatic it is for them and all of that kind of stuff. I'm not sure if all of these people realize that they're not unique and it's not like I'm saying, oh, I don't care. I do. However, if I keep consistently listening to the stuff and keep interviewing these people all the time, I get depressed. I get anxiety. Mm-hmm. I get, even though nothing has happened to me, just sharing bad experiences can be a bad experience.
That's called dense energies, and it's very hard for the body to alchemize or process dense energies. You aren't taking it on, but just being in that person's energy field is like when you were younger and you had an asshole boss. I'm sorry, you had a crappy boss.
You can say asshole.
Same thing. You had an asshole boss. And that, every time you went to work, you didn't realize that you were suppressing yourself to be around that boss. And the same thing applies to the other situation. It's like you've suppressed yourself to be a part of that, and you can't. And you can't let domineering people or domineering subject matters that are dense be a part of you. And that's where energy cleanliness, the most basic concepts of it, whereas your home where you sleep in that bed is the place you don't want dense energies. And you don't want to bring that dense energies to your bed with your wife in it. You want to make sure that it's just you and not the dense energy that you've been sharing with people, because I call it the dirty energy underwear. You know, you broadcast a radio show, so do I. That means you are open to all of the energetic frequencies of everyone else that's out there, unless you have the coping skills so that doesn't affect you. You know, as a host, you've built up a callous skin and particular skills, you know, but after a while of doing it after time, there's only so many things you can do before it's like it's been a song that's been played too many times, and it is an exact opposite where it depresses you. So when you're dealing with the dense subject matter, such as rape and abuse that is existing inside government or church or whatever, again, you can only do it so much.
Well, I had this one woman come around, and she was here at my home for 6 hours. I barely got a word in that whole 6 hours. Only about 3 hours of it was interviewed. So it's just sitting there listening to this woman go on and on
and on. I call that psychic vomit.
It's freaking relentless.
Yeah, it's psychic vomit.
And after that day, I basically had 2 months where I couldn't do nothing. You know, I was just like...
Yeah, and that, from my perspective, that person is in unawareness, and that was an example of a dunce energy or demonic attack that was literally attacking you at the your ability to process it, which is your liver. Where any possessing entity, what it's going to look to is get into your tailbone or your liver. It's its first two choices, because if it gets in your liver, that means anything that builds up, whether it's a traffic ticket or somebody that cuts you off, it gets more and more power when you go through frustration and rage when it's in your liver. If it gets in your tailbone, it stops you from taking in the natural energies of Earth, and you begin taking in its energies in unawareness. Mm. And something like that sticking around 2 months, that must have been nasty. It probably a depression or an anger demon that was causing people to be angry around you for no reason.
No.
Now, when I say demon, nobody else was getting angry around me.
It was me. It was like I was trying to cut myself off from the world. Like during the time, out of the 2 months, I think for the first month or so, I was still doing interviews maybe 5 days a week, and these were long, like 3 hour interviews. Mm-hmm. And then after about maybe 2-3 weeks of doing that, I hadn't actually edited or put up on my website any of them. Right. Mm-hmm. Talking to people was like as much of a challenge to me that I couldn't. Even though it only takes 3 hours of the day, you know, 3 hours out of a working day is not even half your day. And then I would be so wiped out. It was all I could do just to talk for that long. Mm-hmm. And after about 3 weeks or so, I stopped doing interviews altogether and still wasn't editing and putting stuff up. And I had all this massive workload, and it kept ragging on me, kind of like in my head, just going, you know, you got to do the work. And I was like, no, I don't want to. I don't want to do the work. And then I started to feel guilty because my listeners were still donating and their subscriptions and everything, and I wasn't producing any shows for them. Felt really guilty about that. Felt guilty for another whole month afterwards until one of my listeners told me, Vinny, stop feeling guilty, okay? If you want some time off, you deserve it. Stop feeling guilty. And I was like, I stopped feeling guilty, and I started working the very next day.
Yeah. I call that the trenches, when you're feeling that guilt and you're doing it for everyone and you're not doing it for yourself. You're doing it because you like doing it. You wouldn't be doing this, right? If you didn't like it?
Well, actually, there's times when I don't like it, and you do it out of more moral obligation than enjoyment.
I get that part. I do it out of a moral obligation too, because of the information that I have here, and it's a matter of sharing it with people. You know, the moral obligation says what? It means you have a moral code. And if anything that your shows or your archives do, whether you stay on air or not, that moral code transits through. That's ultimately what we want people to do, is to be able to break bread with each other, whether you agree or disagree. You got to be able to at least start the end of factionisms. You know, we're this clique and that clique, do it this way and that way, and you can't get in this clique, and this clique works this way. It's so high school, but it's been generated time and time again. The Illuminati and the Cabal is no more than different than high school cliques. It's the same concept. They just have more power than high school. But then by perception, you know, when you're in high school, you know, the head of that class, he has all the power. We don't care about the Illuminati when we were in high school. And again, the change in perception that we all go through each and every phase of life. You know, what was life like before you learned to drive a car? And then what was it like afterwards?
It was just life.
Just life. Just plain old life.
Just life with a different skill.
That's it. But as a kid, until you do that experience of driving every day, paying the insurance, fixing the car, changing the brakes, making sure there's oil in it, all that other responsibility that comes with it.
Well, the other element that here that I wanted to really discuss with you is also how to kind of like protect yourself from this kind of nonsense, because you know, I'm not doing what I'm doing because of so much of a choice as it is a lack of options. So, like, the last couple of times I've been to job interviews, I've had panic attacks, and so I made up a mental disorder, which is totally legitimate because all mental disorders are totally made up, called employophobia, the fear of gainful employment. And ever since then, I've had to be self-employed because I've realized that I don't stand to gain from being employed by any other scumbag.
Well, that, and also, what are you going to put on your resume? You know, Truth or Radio for 2 years, interviewed this. I want to flip burgers for you. No. Again, there's going to be a scrutiny at you where there are going to be business people aren't going to hire you simply for the material that you cover. And the same thing that applies for me. That's why I've been my own person this long, presenting the material how I see fit without creative control by anyone else. And for you, you can do an incredible job. You have your donation force, but you can take it to the whole next level if you want and work smarter, not harder. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've got an incredible following that helps you go through your 2 months off. You know, I went through my 3.5 months off after I burned out after Christmas, after doing an all-day marathon of the nothing's going to happen tomorrow for the 21st. You know, again, nothing's going to happen until people stand up. But people are burning out in this movement, and there are some awake people out there that are burning out and going back to sleep. And if I can do a radio show 2 days a week or 6 days a week, whatever it turns out, 10 hours a week or 10 hours a month, and it helps people, then I'm doing the right thing. And so are you. And well, we just I've have to, as individual beings, come to our own determination with our own determinative spirit how we're going to change this world.
Mm. Well, I've had messages from people who were going to commit suicide before listening to my show, The Lighter Side of Genocide, and they suddenly realize, you know, actually there is still some fun stuff out there. Sure, we're being exterminated. Sure, we're being enslaved. Sure, we're being poisoned. Sure, we're being brainwashed. But, you know, it doesn't mean you can't have much fun.
Right. There's still love out there. There's still lovers out there. There's still incredible experiences to be out and had.
Hey, don't and you hate those people, bro, who could totally deny the other aspects of the human nature? Like, oh, greed and murder, it's all in human nature. But isn't love and compassion and being a good cat also part of human nature as well?
Yep.
They conveniently forget that part, and I think that's because they've been brainwashed into believing that humanity is bad by the scumbags who are actually running the show, so that they won't actually try and help or support or do anything for anybody else and just get totally demotivated.
Like that whole concept that humanity is a virus. That's a belief system that was from the Matrix. Before that, humanity was the Andromeda Strain, actually, a movie in the 70s, late 70s, early 80s, I believe. It was about a virus that came in and affected the military first, and the military people had a coup d'etat.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's humanity is a virus, and that other invading species was the antibody to the human virus. That was introduced. All of those concepts were introduced to change the social consciousness to become callous to humanity's potential.
Mm. Hey, what do you call a military dictatorship that seems to happen by magic?
What?
A coup d'etat!
Coup d'etat! We've seen many of those. Look what's going on in Thailand.
Yeah, and look what's happening in Ukraine. Right, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show. My very special guest is Andrew Bartzis. Please go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com and check out our sponsors, the book The Crowdfunding Revolution by Kevin Lawton. Also, this is bear in mind, crowdfunding is replacing capitalism in the traditional sense. The crony capitalism, where a few people basically hold all the purse strings or what have you, and they more or less decide which technologies wind up becoming publicly available, which companies succeed and which don't, because they've got all the money that can make them succeed or fail. That's starting to change because of crowdfunding. And if you want to learn how that works and be able to get in on it so you don't have to be a slave anymore, go check out that book on thevinnyeastwoodshow.com, The Crowdfunding Revolution by Kevin Lawton. There's also another great book in there by Brian E. Holmes, B. Holmes, called The Range of Illusion. And I think you might actually like that book as well, Andrew. It's very, very kind of like spiritual, universal, sort of novel type thing. Sort of like trying to introduce the New World Order, the mind control techniques, and all these very complex systems that we come to understand through a lot of historical and spiritual research, etc. And she's putting it out in a fictional context so that's more digestible. So if you've got a friend or family member or something like that who is so not waking up to the New World Order yet, you know, just go, hey, here's this totally innocuous novel, you know, just exactly. Slipping that totally from Christmas time. Yeah. Other than that, there are our two regular sponsors, which are the High Tea Cafe New Lynn, Portage Road in Auckland there. If you want to click on the link there, they'll tell you when the cafe is actually open up there and you can go and purchase yourself some high tea, as well as the Gourmet Soap Kitchen in Wagga Wagga. It's just the most ridiculous soap, right? Really? Okay? Fight Club ain't got nothing on the Wagga Wagga Gourmet Soap Kitchen. I kid you not. And not to mention, again, got to really, really get people out there with the Blue Shield, right, mate? It makes a real big difference, or at least it has to me and pretty much anybody else I know who's actually had one. And lastly, but certainly not leastly, and soon to be promoted absolutely beastly, is Volcania International Consciousness Coffee. We've got a great man named Russell, who has a plantation in Vietnam, employing families to do all of these traditional coffee preparation techniques that they've been doing for a generation or two, and totally ethical, but they hate the free trade label because those people are basically just scum. Who, you know, whenever the establishment puts a label on something, you basically try to automatically translate that label as the exact opposite of whatever it says it is, and then that's about the truth. Yeah. About right. So check out the Volcania Coffee banner there as well, and we'll be right back for the final segment with Andrew Bartz in just a minute. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's my final segment here today with Andrew Bartz, as the Galactic Historian. His website is galactichistorian.com. Andrew, welcome back. Now, towards the end of the show, what I used to do back in the day, and I think it's kind of appropriate for you, is to ask you to share something that you don't normally share because, you know, people either are like judgmental, or they just won't believe you, or anything like that, or it's what you're saying sounds a little bit crazy. But for you, this is kind of like bread and butter.
Yeah, Reddit, exactly.
And that, is there anything even on top of that that even you find difficult to deal with?
Define difficult to deal with.
Wrap your head around and go, you know, I'm not quite so sure about this yet.
Well, when I was about 17, 16 years old, I'd already been doing it for many, 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 many years. I finished answering all of the questions I needed to answer about the facade reality by the time I was 22. So personally, I've asked all my questions. I've understood all of the stuff I've needed to understand. It's about living in the moment now. And there are things that are done in the moment that I try to wrap my head around. For example, what's going on in our current media, and something I'm quite famous for is calling out what the media will do 6 months or 8 months ahead of time. I described Syria. I described what the fruit vendor in Tunisia would do. I described the Green Revolution. This is all documented, that exactly how the press would respond in classic propaganda format. So what I try to get my head wrapped around and stuff is what the other organizations are doing to create this bull stuff, this bull hockey, this crap. They're all feeding us a bullshit sandwich, and some of us are putting Parmesan cheese on top. And those are the really asleep sheeple going, bah, bah. So wrap my head around. I've wrapped my head around timeline travel and timeline genocide, living on four separate paradox timelines, and then realizing that I'm coexisting on all four and all parts of my beings are existing in the past, present, and future simultaneously. So I've wrapped my head around it. So what I really wrap my head around is, what can I do to this social consciousness as one voice? What does it take? So far, it's 1,500 hours of audio and video in the highest frequency I can possibly manifest, in a scenario where I'm not in the function of time. I no longer believe in time, and I've applied it to myself to create a no-time field. And those that are around me and listen to my shows know this exactly, where I can create a field and put out a volume of information that can't fit in 2 hours, quite literally. That's just the way I live. So what I'd like to do, wrap my head around, is what does it really take? That's what I do. I put these puzzles together. That's what I've been doing since a little kid. That's what I do professionally with clients in sessions, put their puzzle together. Do I provide a strategy for them? That's their own strategy. But once they understand the puzzle and the context in which they live in, they can make clear and concise choices. I look at the weather patterns of our planet. I'll back my consciousness and observe the planet as just the weather patterns. And I see that that's our uncollective consciousness. And we are the collective consciousness inside of it, trying to understand why is our uncollective creating this chaos above us, so the collective conscious can't be on this world. Why all these belief systems are here, what CERN is. I've discovered 622 separate timeline programming and reality-altering programs inside of CERN, and I could spend the next month researching it privately and come up with dozens more. So I've done that. I've understood the timeline wars. What does it take to unravel the now? And it's about living in the present and figuring out more and more language to help people live in the present as healed human beings, healed enough to know they must heal themselves before they can heal others. That's the conundrum right there.
It's funny you should mention that, because that was exactly what I was about to say, because part of my job is to get activists and things like that who don't normally have a whole lot of support around the community or from the mainstream establishment for these ideas that they're expressing, and simply give them a place where they can openly say it without fear of judgment. And yep. At the same time, I take on board some of that trauma, some of that suffering, etc. And I do wonder from time to time how I can cope with it, because I'm not only just dealing with my own life and my own issues, but I'm also listening to everybody else's life and everybody else's issues simultaneously.
Which means your signature frequency of your truth gets muddled down.
It does, I think. But that's only when I'm interviewing somebody else, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's got a dense personality.
Yeah, yeah. And on the other hand, if you get me alone on radio or something like that, like, I found that I'm actually much better at being interviewed than I am at being an interviewer.
Same here.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised how many people come on to New Earth Nation and they end up interviewing me. It's just really become ironic is how it's happened. You know, I interview people and I can make people shine. I'm reading them as I'm doing it. And I've brought plenty of people out into the industry. They're first ones. They were afraid to do it. So, you know, I don't have a problem doing that. In fact, I love doing it. You know, I love doing comedy too. I think our truther industry needs comedians. And there are people that bridge the gap, but there needs to be a separation between the truther industry and the comedy of truther industries. And I've put call-outs out there for comedians to step up and make true light worker comedy, truther comedy, so we can begin to break up some of these dense concepts and allow laughter to be the healing.
Well, what is laughter to you? To you, then, I mean, you've got a different understanding to the way the universe works and frequency and et cetera to everybody else. I mean, what is humor to you?
Okay,
what does it mean? What's its function?
Before we were off air early on, you just were laughing at the thing you came up about your prime minister there, how it got that signature frequency to you, where it just you made it, and it, those sayings on it were perfect for you. That was healing for you. You can admit that?
I'm not sure if it was healing for me. It was just
source of
funny.
Inspiration?
It's kind of like you have a vision and then you fulfill your vision and you feel glad that you fulfilled it, but at the same time you don't know the exact reason for it or what its implications are.
And that's the mind trying to understand the infinite heart, and it can't. So all the body can do is simulate acetylcholines to have a laughter response so that the body understands it's their true understanding there. And that's the difference between your visceral body, parasympathetic body, and your true aligned body. Like right now, you're in your true aligned body. You're not off the radio and in your protective state or non-protective state. You know, you're in your alignment here. And when true laughter comes at alignment state, it affects all other layers of your expression, your dream worlds. And that is ultimately a wave of healing energy or a way to break up dense energies that are filled around your energy centers. That's why you've got those people that, you know, they feel like their sides are splitting when they're laughing. They're laughing so hard because they are literally alchemizing something in their liver they can't get out. And that's why their sides are hurting. And that's healing. And laughter is the chemical way of the body responding to what the infinite source is saying. It's the easy button to healing, honestly. It's not the cure all, but it is the easy button for a lot of scenarios, because that's how you break fear, by being able to laugh at it.
I think that's right, and this is what Doctor Who does all the time. He just mocks and
just mocks it. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, is this part of the reason why I exist, right? Is to help people heal using a little bit of humor while we're talking about real serious business,
right? And you interject your humor at your intuitive states of knowing the energies are dense enough that humor can come in and help people process.
Well, there was a bunch of people who stole my company name back in the day, Guerrilla Media. And what were they doing? Well, basically, you know how psychopaths work. They don't actually – nothing they say is ever true or truly true. And if it is, it's only partly true, so that you'll believe them about something else when they BS you, you know? Mm-hmm. So what these guys are doing, they're talking about my tagline, the lighter side of genocide, and they go, yeah, like genocide is funny. just like totally not they appear to not get it, even though they do get it, and they're just trying to twist it around.
Or be in domination for the business of that.
Yeah. I mean, look at it this way. I mean, if you're not freaking having fun while you're learning about terrible stuff, you're going to want to stop learning about that terrible stuff soon enough, right?
Exactly.
And my goal is not to freaking wake people up. I hate that that phrase, you know, oh, I'm going to go out, I'm going to wake the people up and all of that kind of stuff. Some people do. Some people are good at it. Personally, I think my objective is not to wake people up at all. It's just to have those people who have already woken up stop them from going back to sleep by helping them deal with this crap.
Mm-hmm. And the different people that you bring on helps them deal with it in different ways. The regular listeners that you have listen to the genre of guests that you bring on, because it's your signature frequency they're looking for through the lens of your perception and how that person's presented through your lens, positive or negative. It doesn't matter. I mean, there are people out there that, you know, aren't good people, and they're in the truther industry. That's why I'm really, really selective about who I interview. I'm so selective I've turned down the FM stations, because I know that I won't get justice there or anything other than you're a psychic, and I'm far more than that. Same with you. I mean, it's almost at a point where we as the truthers have to unionize and realize that it's our own individual factions that have ever prevented us from unionizing. And what is unionizing? Sharing the common toolbox. So if somebody's in trouble and they need something that can help them, whether it's technological based or audio based, so you can get a station up because your station got taken down, or it's a way of sharing common information and way for get a hold of guests and hosts so they don't overlap, so that there's a some sort of continuance that people can fall into, whether they're asleep or they're awake. You know, hey, listen to this, this, and this show. Vinny did these shows 2 years ago that are great introduction to Agenda 21. The rest of the stuff is dense, and you'll just waste your time wading through that crap. Go to this one that was done by somebody else, or this one with these guys, and this is an order to go through and help people go through the reawakening process or falling asleep process. You know, Guerrilla Media, great name. I mean, look at the foundations of your startings or the foundations of my startings. We're still at the same place. We're at a place where both of us have manifested our individual audiences, and these individual audiences are the energy army of change. Whether it's a whisper listening to this show, or whether it's an email saying, listen, go and look at this. They found an underwater base here right off the Los Angeles coast at Port Hume or Magoo Point. Or maybe we'll share this information that, how about everybody that's listening here in the archives, go to Google Earth and type in the island of Diego Garcia Naval Base and look what's just off to the north of the naval base in the center of the island. You'll see a giant underground facility. There are people that will call that as parts of the artifacts left in the image, but you actually know what you're looking at. The sand has uncovered the actual military base because it's the inside of an atoll, which part of it has been broken off, so you have regular sand movements from the tides. And someone put that back into Google Earth just at a time the Malaysian flight thing was going on, knowing that eventually people would look at the Google Earth, and the system of heuristics that's blocking all of this different underwater sites is beginning to break down because people have hacked Google Earth in such a way they can clear out parts of the redaction program.
Can I share something with you? Because I was driving over to my mate's place the other day, and when I drive, I can't really do anything but think because my radio's broken, right? And, you know, when you're driving for half an hour, you'll be surprised what kind of thoughts you came up with. So I was like, okay, let's think about something important on this drive. What do I want after I die? And I say, well, I guess what I want after I die is I want somebody who's like a great activist who saved many lives to come out, you know, maybe after my death or whatever, after I'm long gone, and just say, you know, there was this guy, Vinny Eastwood, this one time, and I was feeling really crap. I was going to give up on helping people and give up on everything. And then he kind of turned me around, you know, from down in the dark. And now I've gone on to save many, many people. And the whole point of that was that it won't, shall we say... Well, let me rephrase. I didn't want to have a legacy that is, I help you, you help me, and that's where it stopped. Mm-hmm. I wanted to have a legacy where I help somebody and they go on to help others so that the people that I help cause a ripple effect and save many, many more lives than I ever could by myself. So that way it doesn't stop with me, that my influence keeps coming on in a positive way long after I'm gone. And the very next day after having that thought, I get a comment from Kevin Galilee, who's written a couple of books on the covert depopulation agenda being facilitated by the UN and the Vatican and all these other scumbag corporations, GMOs, yada yada. And he says, you know, I was about to give up on helping people and exposing the depopulation agenda, but there was this guy, Vinny Eastwood, who came, you know, and it was just like, he said, and I never even broadcasted this or told anybody this or anything like that outside of my circle of friends when I was having a drink with them. It was like he picked up on it. And what was really interesting there is, I realized at that moment that I've already accomplished what I wanted to accomplish in death in life. It's just like, what do I do now?
Honestly, I have experienced that exact same concept. And in each day that I live, I'm going to create a new legacy and a new legacy now, because I've already created these legacies by bringing it into the signature frequency of who I am and the frequency of you are. Each day, we can change this world on the macro scale. From one round of comedy to one dark piece of humor to one incredible piece of information that helps people put their puzzle together. each person has a different puzzle to this awakening piece. There's no cookie cutter way of explaining it. Some people need all science explanations and confirmation and education everywhere, where others don't need that. They've already had enough paranormal experiences in their life to know that reality is pretty fucked up and in not a good way, and that there's a light dictatorship running our world, an understanding that the dark beings, they don't do anything unless the light allows them, includes those child sex rings in all the churches. If there were light beings out there, there would be no child sex rings. That's why it's a light dictatorship.
As opposed to a heavy dictatorship.
Yep. L-I-T-E. Light genocide. Diet genocide.
Yeah. I can't believe it's not genocide.
Exactly. Can't believe it's not butter. Can't believe it's not genocide. It's whipped canola oil.
And it doubles as a great engine degreaser.
Exactly. And you can run a diesel engine on it. Not for long, but it will run.
You can run a diesel engine on it and you can eat it. You know, it's multi-purpose, man.
It's utilitarian. Das Butter.
No, the totalitarian. Utilitaria.
Exactly.
Utilitarian. Which is a kind of dog that's really useful.
All right. How
we are wrapping.
I got a joke for you. Two ascended masters were arguing, and one says to the other, and he goes, "How many ascended masters does it take to screw in a light bulb?" And the other ascended master says, "None. It's the light worker's job."
Oh, that's classic. Oh my god, I like coming up with lame jokes, and it's like what's it? It's actually really important. I found like in a world so full of scumbaggery and terror and terrible, horrible, no good, very bad business, I think it's actually so much more important to make jokes at every single opportunity. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, here's a chance for a lame joke and a crappy pun or something mm-hmm. like that. I mean, even if the joke's not good, at least you're doing something.
And there are other people that are laughing their ass off. I mean, I have done some unique puns and stuff on the material, and I throw them in there, and I get emails, I don't know, few a month about people saying that I owe them a new screen because I did it at a moment they were drinking. They spit their drink out. And I know you've done that to people.
Oh, my I put a really crappy joke on my Facebook the other day, and one of my listeners commented, and he says, yeah, Vinny, your jokes are pretty bad. My wife does at least 2 face palms per show. And I said, that's so weird. So does mine.
That means you're connecting to the women at the third eye level.
Well, it's true. I mean, I've got a, according to my YouTube rankings, about 40% women. And for talk radio, the average is about 10% women.
Ironically, mine's totally different. I have 63% women on YouTube and 71% women on radio.
And I think this is different types of information appeal differently to people. It's like especially men and women. Men like reality. They like fear. They like anger. They like aggression. It really appeals to their natural swing of things. And women like spirituality. They like love. They like light and that kind of thing. And or at least this has just been through my experience and what I've seen, because I'll see comments and things like that. And it seems like there isn't a whole lot of crossover between the compulsions of men and women to listen to different topics. I mean, they'll all listen to the same thing, but they'll all respond to it very, very differently. You know what I'm saying? Yep.
I absolutely know exactly what you're saying. Especially from the type of material I bring out. I mean, you know, the stuff that I do about sovereignty and healing and the law is one audience group. The stuff I do about galactic historians, another audio group. The psychic readings I do is another audio group. And then the interviews I do, each different radio station that interviews me, they're interviewing a different aspect of me. Unless it's an interview like this where, you know, it's, you know, you just let your personality be who it is. And that's what my current radio show is, whether I'm doing interviews with New Earth Nation or on my own like you're doing. I don't need that other stuff. I'm just let myself be. You know, those are the brands that I try to build in a in a market where you needed a brand, whether it's guerrilla media or the different taglines you have. You know, I've come up with some taglines that have just been being propagated all over the world. And that's great, and I don't care. I don't want to be the identifier of those taglines. The fact that they're going, I'm tickled pink.
Well, we're just coming to the end of the show now, ladies and gentlemen. I want to thank you very much for listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Now, please bear in mind, this is a listener-supported broadcast as well. So please go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, the Vinnie with a Y, because it's the most important question Eastwood has, and go ahead, make my news. And go ahead, make a donation or start up a subscription today to put in a little bit of a regular contribution into the bank account or into the new PayPal buttons that are there on the homepage. And there's a reason why I do this, and I started asking for these regular donations and subscriptions up to about 5 years ago, is because I realized there's a lot of costs involved with selling people products. There's a lot of obligations involved with taking on advertisers and so on and so forth. However, if you do interviews and you allow people to have them for free, as much as they want or as little as they want, in any topic they could ever conceive of, and you simply provide that for them and then ask them if they feel that it's worth it to give something back. And I hope you do, ladies and gentlemen, because imagine what would happen if I was no longer doing any of this because I couldn't afford it. I mean, I'd have to go on some kind of a sickness benefit. I don't think that's going to happen, honestly, because every time that I need something from you, the listeners, whether that be to pay my rent or get a new piece of equipment or something like that in order to make the show a little bit more advanced or that kind of thing, you always show up for me, ladies and gentlemen. Always. Not once have I needed something from you where you haven't provided it. And I'm incredibly grateful for your generosity in so many ways, ways that you may not ever appreciate. Andrew, thank you very much for your time today. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening. You can check out Andrew's website, galactichistorian.com, and you can also check him out on Facebook. This is another episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you again sometime.